This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Exodus, the 20th chapter, 1 through 4, then 7 through 9, and 12 through 20, a familiar passage, I'm sure. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading from his holy scripture.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Matthew 21, 33 through 46. Jesus said, Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, They will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading from his holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Once there were two young boys who were given a pair of hamsters by their parents. The boys were tickled silly. They named them Moses and Arlo. They took doll's clothes from their sister's room and dressed Moses and Arlo up as little gentlemen in blue waistcoats. It was great fun watching these little images of humanity dash around on their daily business. Unfortunately, there was also a large house cat who had run of the house. The boys' parents warned them that they needed to take care that cat and hamster should never meet, else the hamster might come to grief. Acting on that warning, the boys began fencing the hamsters in. Now, this was long before there were such things as neat little plastic hamster houses. They had to make do with what they had to hand, which was a cardboard box and some string and a bit of paper. But out of these, they constructed a hamster heaven with bowls for food and water, nesting materials, and a little wheel for exercise. Seemingly everything a hamster could desire, sternly warning the hamsters not to leave the enclosure, the boys secured the top to keep out the cat and went off to school. After the boys left, Moses and Arlo emerged from their nest and looked over their new world. "This can't be right," said Moses. "We should be in the warm sunlight, not the dark of night. I'm afraid of the dark. Who will protect me should predators come?" "Right," exclaimed Arlo, "and though there is food and water here, I fear there may not be enough food to sustain us. It's up to us to locate a reliable source of food lest we starve." Moses made a thorough examination of the walls around them, going over every inch with his whiskers and tiny paws. "There's no way out," he exclaimed. "We're trapped!" Hamster panic ensued as the true horror of their situation became clear. They were to live in fear of the darkness and dread of starvation, and they were trapped, perhaps by some creature who would do them farther harm. Moses and Arlo had long, unproductive discussions about the nature of the creature who had imprisoned them and what might be the purpose of imprisoning them. Much of their conversation centered on the patent unfairness of their jailer. They'd done nothing to justify such an imprisonment. What about the exercise of their freedoms? To whom could they complain? As time wore on in the darkness of the cardboard box, the food remained uneaten and the water undrunk. They were too consumed with the unfairness of their condition to either eat or drink. True, they had everything that a hamster could wish for within the great walls of the box, but the realization that their freedom was constricted by the will of another creature weighed so heavily upon them that they couldn't see to their own needs for food and water. Finally, Arlo, who had been investigating a tiny tear in the great wall, found that he could, by pulling on it, cause it to tear further. It was a tiny tear, but it allowed some sunlight to penetrate to the interior, and great was the celebration. There was hope. They might, if they devoted themselves to the effort, be freed from this imposed and unfair confinement. They put their backs into it and dug at the tear with teeth and paws until a hole appeared, barely wide enough for a hamster to get through. "Wait a minute," said Moses. "It is good that we can glimpse through the hole at the wonders of the world outside our home. But might there not be dangers there as well? Ought we to exercise caution?" Arlo stood up to his full height. "You have been given a glimpse of that which could be ours," Arlo replied, "and you have not the courage to pursue this great gift? Didn't we find the food even in the dark? Didn't we examine our captivity and the dimensions of it? Most of all, did we not find a way to free ourselves by our own efforts from the tyranny which imprisons us? Let us free ourselves from these odd garments which were imposed upon us and which limit us. We are hamsters, proud hamsters. We must never allow another to define us as images of him. We must follow our freedom. We must pursue our liberation, for it is our right. We were not created to blindly follow rules set down by another. We are masters of our world. Arlo was quite the orator for a hamster. With that, Moses and Arlo discarded the doll's clothing in which they'd been dressed and went through the hole to meet their destiny. Later in the afternoon, the boys returned from school to find a hole gnawed in the box and a satisfied-looking cat licking her paws. As the hymn goes, this is your father's world. Within it is everything you need to fulfill the purpose of your creation. And surprisingly, that purpose is not simply to arrange a comfortable accommodation in the great by and by. This is not about you. You were created for a purpose. There was a space in creation which you were formed to fill, you might say. Living within the space that you have been given, pursuing the goals for which you were created, are the blessings of a life well spent. Contrarywise, refusing to fill the space for which you were created leads to death, not as punishment handed out by an angry, resentful God, but as a natural consequence of moving from the place you are meant to be. How then do we find our place and purpose? Well, it's complicated. I remember being taught that the way of life was to follow the Ten Commandments. Since I was about 8 years old, most of the Ten Commandments went right over my head and weren't much of a problem for me. When I got a little older, I was taught that the way to life was to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. By then, I was about 12, and that seemed a pretty easy thing to do, too. After all, I didn't spend much time during my day wondering about how that confession impacted my life. So if Reverend Sam Curry and my Sunday school teacher, Joy, said I should do it, I believed it. Now that I'm aged, I see more deeply into the question of life or death. Like the two hamsters, I've been placed carefully for my own good, but also for the good of God's creation in a particular space. I am to bear the image of my Creator into that space allocated for me, so it may be seen by all who look. I fail in my purpose when I take off the image of my Lord and behave in unseemly ways. I violate my calling even more grievously when I behave in unseemly ways while still wearing the image of my Creator, thereby leading God's other children into confusion. I violate my calling when I put other things, money, power, my sense of entitlement, anything at all, before my yearning to reflect my Creator's true image. I violate and I'm unfaithful to my calling when I forgot the words of the great Jewish prayer, the Shema. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord is one. I violate my calling when I grant my power and abilities to the service of things not given into my hands. I violate my calling when I trivialize the name of my Creator, making of it no more than an expression of surprise or excitement. I violate my calling when I forget to devote one day a week to celebration of my good fortune, that I have been called to reflect God's glory. I violate my calling when I forget the lessons taught me by the lives of my father and mother and all those of greater wisdom who have gently prodded me into the ways of righteousness. This week in Las Vegas, we saw what can happen when one of God's children gnaws a hole in his proper space and imagines himself to somehow be God's equal. As in all such events, we will now have great angry discussions over what sort of legislation we should pass to prevent similar events in the future. As in all such prior events, the arguments will accomplish nothing other than to drive us further apart. And once we have driven our brothers and sisters sufficiently far away that we no longer recognize them, then we can unleash horrors such as we saw this week upon them. You are not a random production of an unfeeling cosmos. You are beloved of God, as is those you choose to call your enemy. Live into the space for which you were created. Reflect the image of God into his creation. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Reading from Genesis. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. You bear the image of the Creator. When people look upon you, they should see the hope of the coming of the new world. Till we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's children said,
Amen.